Okay, well, I learned several cool things this week that I want to share with you. And it's so easy for me when I pick up and I start reading the Bible to just pass right over things. I don't see that it has any relevance to me, to my life. It seems like it's, just these antique laws that no longer speak to me or speak to our generation. They're just something in the past, something about a king or a priest or a fruit tree or whatever it is I'm reading about. I kind of have a hard time, unless it's explained to me by different sages and educators, which I'm so happy that I have access to these things. Because now I'm going to give you some examples of things that if you just didn't know and you just were reading, you would just pass right over it and probably get nothing out of it. And it seemingly just does not apply to you or to me, to any of us in this generation. So, one of the things I read this week was there's a command not to cut down a fruit tree at war. So, if you're not going to war and you don't have the urge to cut down a fruit tree, you're going to think, well, okay, that doesn't apply to me. But the sages, the Jewish educators say that the Torah is teaching us more than that. What's happening, it's trying to give us like a character trait. The character trait here is a character trait that values beneficial things, like a fruit tree benefits many and it shouldn't be destroyed without a very good reason. So you take this principle a bit further, and we shouldn't be inclined to throw away anything that's useful. And we shouldn't be inclined to waste resources. Like when you're going to the store and you just get a pack of batteries, do you really need that plastic bag? No. So there's actually environmentalism in the Torah. And we learned from this simple sentence that you could just read right over and not get a whole lot out of it. Don't cut down a fruit tree at war. When you're besieging a city, it says when you're besieging a city, if you must cut down trees to build a platform to attack the city, do not cut down fruit trees. So what we get out of that is just a general prohibition against wasting food or any useful item. And I remember always being told by my parents to finish all the food on your plate. Remember the starving children in Africa. Well, this comes straight out of the Torah. And another thing we should do is just give away things that we're not using. Just that's all part of what's being taught to us. So the Torah is not old, it's not out of date. It's, but you have to know how to read it and or read the writings of the sages that study these things, and they know how to glean, inside every one of the commandments, there's like a principle, a guiding concept that we fulfill the commandment in so many more situations than what is implied. Like it seems like it could be restricted to certain people or at certain times. Like, okay, this is for farmers, and this one is for the Holy Temple, and this one is only if you live in Israel, and this one's only for women. But what is going on is that there's every commandment applies to all of us in every generation. So I think that is just a really cool thing to know in case you ever thought that the Torah was obsolete or old, just a musty old book containing outdated things. It's not. Another thing that I thought was really good was this thing. Okay, take this sentence. It says, let's see, righteousness, righteousness shall you pursue. Well, I found out this week that the second righteousness, which seems like it's there kind of like for no reason, but there is, it teaches us something. There's a reason that there's two. Righteousness, righteousness shall you pursue. This is that there is a way to be righteous, a righteous way to be righteous. Like, for example, it says if you might want to get up very early in the morning to pray, but you set your alarm and then the alarm awakens everyone else in the family. So that wasn't a righteous way to do righteousness. See, so that's why it's basically saying the ends do not justify the means. That's in the Torah. That's why it says, it's trying to impress upon us that you're, the way that you are righteous has to be a decent way to be righteous. Not like waking up the whole family to be righteous. Okay. Another example that I thought was really good was, there's a command that the king has to have a Torah with all its commandments in his personal possession at all times. So, what, you know, you could go, okay, that's just talking to the king, it has nothing to do with me. But it has everything to do with us, because what the message is, what the underlying principle here is that people in charge can't live by one set of rules. They can't have one set of rules for them and another set like for everyone else. So it's easy to forget when you're the one that's in charge that you have a boss to answer to, the one that's named God. So this is the reason that God wants every king not only to possess like two Torah scrolls, but actually to keep one with him at all times. So, you know, okay, so there's many perks to being a king or a boss, and you're entitled to them. But the underlying behavior has to be that this person also abides by God's rules, not his own. And it's a very powerful message. There can't be one set of rules for a leader and another for the followers. God tells the Jewish people and the kings and their followers must all have, they all have to live by the same rules. So we can totally apply that to our lives. Like parents instruct their children, you can't tell your children not to lie and then have your children see that you lie. So this is the exact kind of behavior that we have to avoid at all costs. And so, I don't know, it's just in everyday situations, the advice, any advice that we give to others, we have to take for ourselves. So that we have to practice what we preach. We have to live by the same words that we give our friends and our family and our coworkers, and we can't ever feel like we're above any of it. So this is, I mean, to me, I would never get all of that out of that by myself if I was just sat down and was reading about that the king has to have a Torah scroll. But I love it that we have teachers that go deep and they pull things out. They explain how all of these commandments, even though they were given to different people in a different generation, in a different society, it still applies. It's because of the basic underlying principles to everything that's there. And this last example I thought was really neat. It's kind of like a metaphor. There's a statement that says, you shall appoint judges and police for yourself in all your gates. Okay. Do you know that that has such a deep meaning to it, that when it says that we should set guards at our gates, the gates, quote unquote gates, are the openings for our body, like our ears. We should guard our ears from gossip. We should guard our mouth from falsehood and from lies. Guard our eyes from straying after frivolous things. So, I mean, there's a surface level to reading the Torah, and I think there's five levels. I mean, you can go deeper and deeper and deeper. So just because you read it one time, the next year comes around when it's time to read it again, you're going to get something totally different out of it. You might go deeper each time or just see a different phrase and get an understanding of what that phrase really means. The last thing is that the Torah compares people to trees, and I thought this was really neat, especially in Israel here. So much of the land is desert, and what they've done, I mean, is to see the potential in the desert, and we're, people are like trees, because trees have, they start with a little bitty seed and then they grow and they just have such potential if they're nurtured properly by parents and educators that see how to bring out the best in them, just to help a child blossom and grow into this independent, strong, live tree. And so anyway, so the Torah compares people to trees, but I thought it's really interesting, like here in the land of Israel, we're talking about potential of the land. So we've got a desert, and some people might go, okay, so we've got this big desert. What should we do with it? I don't know. Maybe we should build a casino or something. But that's not what they did here. They said, well, this desert land is actually really great. It's ideal for produce, except for the fact that there's no water. So that they had to figure out a way to bring out the potential in the desert, and so this drip irrigation was invented, and so now the land, it has all the potential there because of this drip irrigation. Israel is actually growing and exporting produce in the middle of the desert. So it's incredible to me that the greatest potential was brought out of the land, and that's a principle in the Torah that all of us should rise to our greatest potential. We should always be working on ourselves, always be fixing ourselves, fixing our environment, educating our children, realizing their potential, that they are like trees that are going to grow and be everything that they were meant to be with a little help and a little nutrients and the right kind of just the right things that they need from others in their life. Like we I don't know, it's just a great principle to live by. And so the main thing that I wanted to say was that don't ever pick up this word and think, oh, I read it once, I don't know, it doesn't apply to me. There's so much there if you get with the right teachers and the people that are skilled to know how to read the Torah and how to extract the greatest potential from those words, and how those words, even though they were written so long ago, still apply today. All right, that's all for now. Lahitra'ot.